but he used that chance to tease Antony in a playful yet in a seriously remindful way. Cleopatra knew that Mark Antony had a wife back in Rome, and there he was trying to have a secret relationship with someone else. They both knew it was wrong, yet Antony swooned over the queen anyway.
Maybe you should return to Rome, Antony. That is your home, and maybe they need you.
Rome means nothing to me. My duty is to stay in Alexandria and love you.
It didn't matter what Cleopatra said. Antony wouldn't hear the news from Rome, and the two of them spent a moment whispering to one another before leaving the dining area. Demetrius and Philo are in pure shock at their general's disrespect for Caesar.
I have a feeling that this is going to affect the Roman Empire, and maybe in a not-so-good kind of way.
The disrespect towards Caesar is unbelievable. I fear you might be right, Philo, but I sure hope you're wrong.
Meanwhile, Iraz and Charmaine, two of the queen's maids, went to talk to a soothsayer, or fortune teller, to ask about their futures. They sat with her over tea in the reading room, and they knew Cleopatra might show up soon.
Welcome, ladies. You asked to meet with me. How can I help you?
We wanted to come ask you if you could tell us our futures.
We have both brought you gifts for your time.
Charmaine pulled out a bundle of her satchel that held candles, herbs, along with a few coins, and handed it to the soothsayer. This was tradition, to offer gifts to a fortune teller, as they weren't known to and shouldn't ask for payment. A soothsayer's special gift of telling the future was one to be shared. It was simply polite to offer something for their time with you and share their gift. The soothsayer happily accepted the gift bundle and prepared to tell them each their future.
It is interesting that the two of you ladies come here requesting your fortunes at the same time, because both of your futures have the same sides to be seen. Both of your pasts will be better than your futures, and you will outlive our queen that you serve.
Just then, Cleopatra entered the room and sat down at the table with them. She didn't exactly come quietly, as she had some complaining to do about Antony.
Oh, goodness. Antony has turned his mind and attention back to Rome. This is frustrating, and I don't want to deal with it. I don't even want to see him right now.
The ladies all responded with an oh. They all seemed to expect that the queen would have more to say, but she turned her attention to sending for Antony's follower, Enobarbus. When he arrived, she has him go to get his master, Antony. She changes her mind as Antony was heading her way, and she quickly leaves the room to avoid seeing him. As he entered the reading room, so did a messenger who needed to speak to Antony. Antony was looking behind him as Cleopatra walked right past him with her head down, avoiding eye contact.
General, I have some unfortunate and very important news for you from Rome.
What is it?
Sir, Flavia and your brother Lucius mounted an army against Caesar, but they have lost their battle.
What? How am I just hearing this? Was there no word sent to me when the army was being gathered?
Sir, well...
Don't hold back. You can speak openly here to me.
Well, sir, you may have been able to be of assistance. A messenger came to you with news earlier today, but you sent them away. I mean no disrespect, sir, but you did refuse the news.
Another messenger enters the room rather quickly, with an urgent expression on his face.
General, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have very important news for you. Your wife, Fluvia, has passed away.
Antony drew in a deep breath before commenting.
For quite some time,